Father, and thank God for this another Sunday that God has blessed us. And it is, wow, May the 1st. And God has brought us through this year already, and he's blessed us tremendously. Let's give God praise for just what he has done and how glorious it's been to just be in his presence. Today, I want to really talk to you about the Great Reset. Again, I want to go back to that topic because there were some things about the Great Reset that I wanted to discuss that I've been discussing all week long, and it's food prices and all of the things that are happening around us seem to be pointing to the judgment of God. And I wanted to know if these food prices were a judgment from God, or are they actually man-made? Well, and then another question I want to ask is that if they are man-made, can they be man-made in such a way that God is actually working with man to bring about judgment? And I think that that's really true. I think that's what can happen. God is working in this situation to bring about a crisis so that we can be humble to come to him. But again, I don't want you to just kind of like listen to me. I want to give you this, though. It is important that we understand that God has not really appointed us to wrath, but, you know, he has actually, for Christians, he has actually reserved us for, you know, glory and goodness and grace. So obviously, you know, I want you to be understanding that, yes, I do understand that we're under grace and that God is reserving his day of judgment for a ultimate day. But then let's talk about what's going on today, because this is something that's really waking up people around the world, and they really need answers whether or not you know, you believe that it is a judgment or not. You know, it's something to kind of like consider that, you know, we could be under a judgment. And so I believe that what God does is he uses people to actually carry out his will, even evil people, and evil people can actually bring judgment. So let's kind of look at some of these other things about the Great Reset. Anyway, here's what it talks about. It talks about inflation being high, at an all-time high. And the this kind of came out of, I believe, Forbes magazine. It talks about why is inflation so high. And I believe, again, that, you know, as we look at this out of Forbes magazine, that, you know, why is inflation so high? We are actually looking at the judgment of God. We're looking at how God is allowing things to heat up around here so that he can accomplish his will through people. And so, again, let's go to another thing. I want you to take another look at something else, too, that I was looking at, just kind of looking at the shelves. The shelves of the stores are actually becoming even more and more bare. And let me see if I can get that up there for you. Okay, so you can see that. That's a, just kind of like a picture that came out of, you know, the latest newspaper is saying that, you know, the shelves are going bare. And we can see that right now, that there is something very strange going on with the food around here. And what's going on? Well, we understand that, yes, there's a possibility that men are working in the background to produce a generic food shortage. And so without even going into a conspiracy theory, obviously something is going on. Something very wrong is happening, right? And, you know, I'm the first person to say conspiracy, because I am a conspiracy theorist. But without going into being a conspiracy theorist, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracist. I believe that there is a conspiracy going on, but again, I'm going to leave it to you to kind of figure it out. And you know, we have to leave it to other people on time of to come to their conclusion. But here's another thing too, and we've been seeing this a lot: plane crashes into General Mills, right? And so or a plane crashes near General Mills, and some of these planes that have been crashing into these places, I'm wondering how the pilots even got out. And so, yeah, it's a strange number of coincidences. It says here, explosion, chaos, food processing plant fire, plane crash today in Georgia, sees chaos unfolding at General Mills factory in Covington, right? And so some of these planes have actually been hitting their target. They've been actually making it to the target and hitting these targets. And so as a result, we're having a real big problem with planes crashing into food processing plants being caught on fire. And then I talked about this, and I was talking about Revelation chapter 6. And you know how in Revelation chapter 6, it talks about the black horse. And the black horse will bring judgment upon the people, on the inhabitants of the earth. Because, again, they're going to be the four horses of the apocalypse going out. And then, of course, in Revelation chapter 7, we can kind of also look at that as the rapture that's coming. And when God actually removes the church from the earth. So are we actually heating up to that time? You know, it's something really to think about. You know, are we really right there at that time? And so I want to talk about this person to kind of prove my point about God bringing judgment. And I'm going to talk about this person, Manasseh. And let me see if I can find him for you. Anyway, in the scripture, you can turn to it by just turning to 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 18. And it talks about this key person, Manasseh, who was the son of King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was a good king, and his son was a bad and an evil king. And so it just kind of goes to show that his father raised him the right way, but his son turned out to be evil. And it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes good parents can have evil kids, right? And so that doesn't sound too good because we all want our kids to be good kids, and we do our best to raise our children. But good parents can sometimes have evil kids, and it's important that we know that. So in this, I don't want anybody to feel guilty or anything like that. So I just want to focus on this person because he was a leader over Israel. Just like today, we have leaders over our nation. We have people over our nation that are pushing a great reset and pushing us in an ungodly direction, when God would have us to go in the right way. We are having people to do that too. So it's important that we understand what's going on. And the key personality here would be Klaus Schwab, right? Because Klaus Schwab is bringing us into this new world economic system in which there's going to be a great reset back to net zero. And net zero meaning that, you know, they're going to take everything away from the public, and they're going to disseminate who gets what based upon a social credit score. And so that's where we're going with this. And you have to wonder, why did it change so suddenly? We gotta look at some of the things that we've been doing as a people. Have we been keeping God's precepts, his commandments, have in the area of abortion, in the area of the things that we are doing to the family? We're separating family members in terms of marriage, traditional marriage. We're breaking that up, and we're redefining marriage in ways that or it's not really according to what God said with Adam and Eve. For God, it was a man and a woman. That's what is described in Scripture. We've taken and extended that now to something that we can't even define, right? So the family is being broken up. Also, we have a new thing coming up with pedophilia and all of the things that's happening with pedophilia. All of this stuff And then in addition to this is abortion. And abortion has become almost like infanticide because in California, and I believe even in places like Maryland, they've been pushing for the right to actually kill the born, not the unborn, but the born. And so there has been a huge push of Satan. And so now that Satan has painted, take a broad paintbrush and painted all of us with all of the filth and dirtiness, now we've opened ourselves up to the attack from the enemy. And so, yes, the enemy will attack us and God will step back when we fail to keep God's commandments, his laws, his precepts, the goodness of God. And it's important to understand, yes, even though we're under grace, there is a judgment coming for the whole world with respect to Hollywood and the principles of immorality that is going to come on the whole world, right? So again, Christians need to pray for a covering so that, you know, when this wrath comes down, it doesn't come down on us, you know. And according to the Bible, it says that there are people that are chosen out and will be pulled out and separated. So let's keep our eyes open for that. But anyway, want to go to this person, Manasseh, right? And let's take a look at Manasseh and see just who he is and what he has done. And let me see if I can find that. I'm going to have to just read it to you. And so here it is in 2 Kings chapter 2, chapter 21, verse 1 through 18. And then that's 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1 through 17. And so as we look at that, it talks about King Hezekiah did evil. And he rebuilt the sects and religious shrines, and he erected the images to Baal, and he put images of Asherah in the temple, and then he also consulted astrologists. And this is something that he did. He was into astrology, into sex magic. And so who is that? We have somebody right now, Hollywood is into sex magic. Everything that they see is all about skin, and everything they show on Hollywood movies is all about skin. It's all about, you know, Hollywood is all about showing a lot of skin and not much of a story, right? And so that's the way it's been going with Hollywood. But the Bible says that this Manasseh, even though his father was a very wonderful king over Israel, this person, Manasseh, was a very dirty person, a very corrupt king over Jerusalem. And so king of Judah, that's what I mean to say. He was the king of Judah. And so he was supposed to have a standard or lift up a standard for the Lord after his father, but he did not. He actually got very, very involved in killing people, killing innocent people, and he even caused his children to walk through the fires of Baal and be sacrificed. So he sacrificed even his own children. And so as a result of that, the Bible says that the Lord promised catastrophe on him, and he told him through the prophets that he was going to wipe out Jerusalem. And that's what happened in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 12. He promised to wipe out Jerusalem. And in verse 21, chapter 21, verse 13, he did. And so the Assyrians cruelly came in and they killed a lot of people. And there may have been some people who were righteous even in that nation, even though he had led many people to actually away from the Lord. There may have been some who was just caught up in this whole thing. And you got to understand that a lot of times we are going to get our reward in heaven. That's where we need to be focused. You know, as Christians, we need to be focused in terms of heaven, right? Because this earth is not our home, and we got to understand that, you know, as God is doing things, sometimes there is a judgment that will come up on people that will involve Christians as well. And I'm not saying that there was Christians in that day. What I am saying, though, there may have been people who kept the old ways in that day, but even though they kept the old ways in that day, did not mean necessarily that they were able to escape the judgment. And so this is important to understand this. Manasseh did so wickedly that God raised up the enemy. And that's one of the things I want you to see, is that God will raise up an enemy against people that are wicked. He will raise up the wicked's enemies. And so he's also able to cause your enemies to have peace with you. And so there is protection from our enemies given to us by God. And we know that the scripture tells us as believers that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and that he will, you know, preserve us even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we should fear no evil. But at the same time, for these people who were following Manasseh, and Manasseh had a cabinet, just like we have Joe Biden, and we have a cabinet who follows Joe Biden, and they are instituting all these evil policies across the country, from our senators to our governors to even, you know, the Speaker of the House. All of the people are involved in a conspiracy to bring about evil. Those people right now are under the judgment of God. And so what happened? God raised up the Assyrians, and the Assyrians came in and put a hook in the nose of Manasseh and led him away to Babylon. And the scripture says that during that time when he was led away to Babylon, that's when Manasseh actually came to his senses. And the scripture says that he came to his senses and he turned back to God. And it's important that we recognize that he could still turn back to God. There are a lot of us, you know, we think that it's either, you know, if you don't return, if you mess up, that God won't give you a second chance. But the Bible is letting us know that God will give us a second chance. God will repent of what he's going to do. But over and over and over again, God was telling him all along, showing him the mercy of God. Because, see, God is a merciful God, because God had warned Manasseh so many times before that if you would just turn around, I will not bring judgment. But here in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 through 32, it says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, and every one according to the ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourself from your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." And so it's important to understand that God will bring judgment, but before he brings judgment, he's going to warn us. Now, has America received warning? Yes, America has received many warnings. We have had all sorts of things from the pulpit, preachers preaching and teaching the righteousness of God's word, from the street preachers telling people to turn away from their sin. I went to New York maybe about 6 years ago, and I can remember just walking through the streets of New York, crowded streets, and every corner there were preachers preaching about repent and, you know, and get saved and turn to the Lord. And yet there were people walking around, you know, gladly dressed and, you know, with things that ought not be worn outside. There were even women who were walking around, you know, expressing themselves, you know, by, you know, being, what do you call, They didn't have anything on, right? So they were walking around, and in New York, you can walk around without a shirt, at least at that time, and with no bra, and you were a woman, you could walk around because they say it was, if men could do it, then women could do it too, and they didn't call it indecent exposure. I've seen people walking around, men walking around with just nothing on but a thong. And the preachers were out in the street just preaching and preaching and telling all those people to turn away from their evil ways and turn to the Lord. And everybody just walked past and just were laughing and sneering at them. And I'm telling you, you know, this is God's judgment. God is telling them. These were God's prophets, you know, rather. And this was God's warning. That's what I mean. And God was warning them and telling them over and over again to turn away from their sin. But did they turn away from their sin? No, they didn't. They just kept right on sinning. And this is what the thing that we need to understand. America has been given chance after chance after chance, and we've been told to turn away from our sin, yet we continue to have all of these things happen. Children having new sex curriculum being brought into the school where they're teaching children how to have sex. Not only how to have sex, sexual intercourse with the male, but how to have sexual intercourse with, male to male and female to female, but then, you know, also just all kinds of sex with even animals, you know. So some of these things that they're teaching in these schools are just so ungodly and so terrible that, you know, you can't even keep up with it. You know, who can keep up with what they're talking about doing? But, you know, last time I checked, it was, they were talking about even animals, children acting like animals or becoming an animal. And if the child would become an animal, identify as a particular animal, we are not to try to correct that child. And this is really bad because our children depend upon adults to be the arbiters of truth, you know, to bring truth. And so we have now just people not walking in the truth. And God has been telling us from all sorts of different directions. Today we have more Christian television networks, we have more Bibles, and we have more preachers than in any other time in history. Yet, no one's turning away from their sin, or very few are turning away from their sin as it stands today. We seem to be headlong into going in the wrong direction. And so, according to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 through 32, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one of you. Now, we're not Israel, but we are a nation that has been brought up with Christian roots. And so we do know better. And so God had told them to cast away all your transgression, but they didn't listen. And so as a result, the Bible lets us know that, you know, again, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, well, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And so there are many people who are going to actually reap the whirlwind. You know, that this is what's going on. People are reaping the whirlwind today. And we have a nation of people now that are sick, and they don't know why they're sick. Many people are reporting symptoms. They don't know why they have these various symptoms like blood clots, and they have all sorts of symptoms with children and liver damage, and then all of these other things. Yet, no one wants to say that this has something to do with our prayer life and our spiritual state as a nation. No one wants to say that, because we want to look at God as a God of love, but not judgment. A God of grace, but not correction, you know. And so We have to understand that our God is a well-rounded God. If he did it in the Old Testament, he certainly will do it today. And so it's important to understand that. So I am not saying that God is not a God of forgiveness. God will forgive. But here's the amazing thing. Out of all the outrageous things that Manasseh did, God still, amazingly, you know, even after all the rebellion, this man is drinking blood. He's murdering his own citizens. He's causing them to worship at these altars that they should not be worshiping. And many of them were put to death because they didn't do that. And then he also sacrificed his own children to be sacrificed, and drinking blood and all of these evil things. Orgies happening at these various temples. But when he got taken captive, that's when he changed his mind. It wasn't until he was taken captive that he finally repented. And the Bible says that even though he didn't listen to God, what happened is that he got right with God once he came into calamity. And so the question is, a lot of times, what is God using calamity for, if not judgment? Well, yeah, the reason God uses calamity is to get our attention, to shake us so that we wake up. And I believe that God is waking people up right now, because there are so many people now who are looking back over the past 2 years, and I'm sure that they're saying, wait a minute, it's not going the way they said it was supposed to go. Some people are in sick and they are never have gotten well, and they're not going to talk about that even, you know. So I don't want to talk too much about that myself. But again, as we look at this, we have to look at the whole picture, right? And so, you know, I can't say too much about that because, again, as we talk about this, we have to keep it in an area where it can stay on YouTube. But again, let's just kind of look at this. We're looking at the whole situation, and God is waking people up, isn't he? That's what he's doing. And he's using his judgment of our foolishness to wake people up. So, again, in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 13, it says, God was entreated of him, and he heard the supplication. So Manasseh prayed to the Lord. And it wasn't until he got a hook in his nose and carried away to Babylon and treated poorly, and you know, I'm sure that they tortured him and did all sorts of evil things to Manasseh, that the Lord actually heard his plea, and amazingly, God got him out of prison, because God has the keys to every prison. You know, it's important to understand that God is in control. There's never a time that God is not in control. If God wanted to stop all that's going on right now, he could stop it in a minute. If he wanted to stop the people, the evil politician, from doing what they're doing and putting these policies in place, he could stop it in a minute. And so even though Manasseh was in prison in Babylon, locked up, Manasseh prayed, and the Bible says he humbled himself before the Lord. At first, he wasn't humble. So after he humbled himself, the Bible says that then that's when he prayed, and he prayed to God, because he prayed to all the rest of these other idols, and none of these idol gods could get him out. And he prayed to God, and God opened the door of the prison, got him out, had him go back to Jerusalem, got him back into his position as king. And after him repenting and changing, he went to work. Manasseh changed everything. He began to really show God how sorry he was, and After that, the Bible says that he removed all of the idols and the high places that he had put up. He repented. So repentance means that you actually do right. You change your ways. You have a feeling. You have a desire to change what you did. Not only doesn't mean you're sorry, but you're going to turn around and go the other direction. And that's what the Lord did. That's what Manasseh did. Manasseh actually turned around and went the other direction. So he changed most vile. God actually can change the most vile and wicked sinner and make them act right by what he did. So let's look at what Manasseh does now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 15, it says he took away the strange gods. He took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord and the altars that he had built. He took away all of that, and he repaired the altars of the Lord, and he began to sacrifice to the Lord thereon. And then he commanded Judah. He not only sacrificed and commanded, but he commanded Judah to do the same thing, to sacrifice along with him. And because again, he was letting it be known that he's changed his ways and the people have to change their ways. And our leadership, if our leadership would actually change and our leadership would get on the ball and say, hey, look, we need to get right with God, then God would change the condition of everything that's going on. Even the evil men who are pushing for the socialist agenda could not get past what God would be doing. And so, yeah. Really, we need good men. We need good leaders. And then that righteous leader would lead the nation into righteousness, and God would stay his execution. He would stay his judgment. He would hold off his judgment. Now, with Manasseh, the scripture says that Manasseh, when he came back, he changed everything and went back to doing the right thing. But it was some years later that then Israel still failed, and they point back to the time when Manasseh failed as one of the chief reasons. So God will give or restore a place of repentance. You know, he restore us and give us a place of repentance, and then God will actually hold off his judgment if people would repent. But it's also important to know that he does not take away the effects of your sin, of what you did, because there are consequences that come. And the consequences that actually came is that eventually Israel did fall into the hands of Babylon for good. And then they were never able to come back or be restored like they normally were then. So that happened in the days of Babylon. But even though they came back a little bit, they went away at 70 AD. So it continued from 500 AD all the way to 500 BC, all the way to 70 AD, this falling away from the Lord. And they point back to Manasseh as one of the chief conspirators who conspired against the Lord. So we're looking at something that in the United States that has permanently changed the United States because of the corruption and the moral misguided direction that we've been going, that our children are going to be scarred for many years. What we have to do, though, is a church, we have to get out there and realize that we are still in the fight and keep on fighting until the very end, or until Jesus comes and takes his church home. Praise the Lord. And we're looking forward to him coming and taking his church home. And we will be, and when we're in that number, when we, you know, when that day finally comes, then, you know, we can give a sigh of relief because we're out of here, you know, in a twinkling of an eye. And I just look forward to that because we are in a corrupt time. But all that really needs to happen for this nation to be turned around and to be moved out of this situation is for us to have some godly leadership. that comes into play that would be brave enough and bold enough to stop the tide of what's going on. But right now, we're in the path of judgment according to what Scripture says. Anyway, I just wanted to give you that, but I want to give you some assurances too, that the Bible says that whosoever believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we are living in the times now when we need God more than we've ever needed him before. You know, if we ever needed the Lord, we sure need him now, right? And so you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I want to invite you and give you the opportunity to receive him as your Savior. All you have to do is say, Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins and I turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, save me. I ask you to come into my life and guide me and order my steps. Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. Amen and amen. So if you pray something like that, you pray that prayer, the Bible says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the most important thing, because what this world is passing away. And eventually one day you will pass away from this place, probably even before this, I'm sure before this world is gone. So where will you end up? Will you end up in heaven or hell? And so that's the most important thing, because this world is passing away. We need to have assurance that we're going to be going someplace that's going to be wonderful and glorious and a reward rather than a curse and something that, you know, is very, very sad for us. So, again, as you give your life to Jesus, remember that he died for your sins. And on the third day, he was resurrected for, you know, to prove to us that he had power over death. And so our Savior lives in heaven right now, and he wants us to come join him in that glorious place. And we are promised eternal life with him, which is going to be glorious, because if it's this good here, just think about how much better it'll be in that perfect day when God has solved all the problems, right? So let's look forward to that. I also want to invite you, you know, if you do not have a membership in the church, you can correspond to us. And you can write me, Vincent Rose at att.net, or truevinechurch@aol.com. And you can become part of what we're doing. We'll send you some things in the mail and keep correspondence going with you. And also, you know, you'll be knowing that you're covered at least in terms of a pastor until you actually get a physical pastor. And I am encouraging everyone to get into a good Bible-believing church. But if you need the spiritual leadership, you can actually plant your membership here, and we will enroll you into what we're doing. Also, thank you for all of your support. If you would like to support us and what we're doing and help us to build the kingdom of God together, when you send your donations in, that gives us the ability to reach more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our address is True Vine Church, 14701 Kelly Avenue, 73013. And we look forward to your letters and your correspondence and whatever else you'd like to send. And, you know, as just a conversation or whatever, you know, some people, you know, send me newspaper clippings, you know, so whatever you like to send, that's fine. And I would like to, you know, correspond back and forth with you as well. Remember until next time, that Jesus is the light of the world and the truth shall set you free. God bless.